Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Teresa. Whenever anyone of our family goes away, even for a couple of days, it's kind of a tradition that you bring back what in Austria is called a Mitbringsel. This Austrian word literally translated means the little present you bring back, a Mitbringsel. So you'll be touched to hear that over the last 2 weeks of our 3 months in France, we were asking ourselves, what can be our Mitbringsel for everyone we love at All Saints? And we thought of getting you a red chair each. No, that's already been done. So the budget didn't stretch too far. So what you've got, hopefully, is a little lump of clay. This is your Mitbringsel. It's a DIY thing, which by extraordinary coincidence is also the illustration I find helpful anyway, and let's hope you do, to understand what God is saying through his word. Can you take your Mitbringsel in one hand? Have you got one? Maybe it's only one between a few. And if you'd like to start to make a pot with it. A pot, you might remember from our parable a bit earlier, represents something. If you remember the story of the fishermen, their pot was what they cooked their fish in. It represents who you are, what you can do, what you're good at, what you're comfortable with. Even if you haven't had a lot of time, you can just make a pot, a very simple pot. That's as good as it gets at the moment. And the big fish in the parable that the fishermen threw back, this is the calling of God on our lives. It's bigger than your pot. That's the theme. In God's word, there is a promise for you and for me for us to take away this morning. Because as I've thought about Jonah and what God wants to say through his word to me and maybe to you, I see a lot of ways that I am exactly like Jonah. You see, God, through his story, has a big promise for my life. You might think you've got nothing in common with this prophet who's alive 8 centuries ago. He lives in the Middle East. He's someone who's called single-handedly, verse 1, Jonah 1, to convert this huge, godless city called Nineveh. You could think, well, that's never going to happen to me. After he runs away from God, in chapter 2, he gets swallowed by this huge whale. You think, that's a bit unlikely. That's certainly not going to happen to me. After that, he gets spat out by the whale. He decides eventually to go back to Nineveh. He converts the whole city. You think, that's very unlikely for me. And then after that, he's really upset by it all. What on earth have I got in common with Jonah? Quite a lot, actually. The first thing about Jonah is, as God's word teaches in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10. Have a look at this verse that'll hopefully come up on the screen. We are God's workmanship, is how St. Paul puts it. Called to do good works. One of the good works Jonah is created by God to do, created like a potter with the clay. Well, earlier in the Old Testament, if you know your Old Testament, you might know that Jonah is a prophet who regularly speaks to the king of his day in about 780 BC. The king of his day is called Jeroboam II. And Jonah is a prophet whose words have great power. His word is heard in high places. God's created him to be a great preacher and prophet. If you know the story of Jonah, he goes into Nineveh, eventually in chapter 3, he preaches. We don't know exactly what he said. The summing up of it is five Hebrew words. The whole city is converted. These are good works that God prepared for Jonah to do. He's quite an extraordinarily gifted guy. There's a calling on his life. You're like Jonah. I'm like Jonah. There's a calling on your life. You are God's workmanship. I am God's workmanship. Not my idea. It's what God's word says. A pot, if you like, this sort of model of a container, contains who we are, who he's made you to be. A clue to what your calling, my calling is in life, is what's in your pot? What are you good at? Jonah is very good at speaking and teaching. God's hand is upon him. It's called God's anointing. Have you ever met or seen doing something God intended them to do? Have you ever seen that? You can't put your finger on exactly what it is, but there is anointing on them. If you watch the Rio Games or hear it on the radio, you'll hear commentators talking about certain athletes who've got an aura. That's because of their human talent. God's anointing isn't an aura because of human talent. It's the indefinable presence of the Holy Spirit who's upon Jonah. And when he's doing the good works in Christ Jesus that God prepared in advance for him to do, he's God's workmanship. He's an anointed guy. God's promise for you is that you're like Jonah. I'm like Jonah. We are God's workmanship with good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. How's your pot going? I'll just give you a couple of moments to make your pot even better. Because as I said, Scripture calls God in one place, a prophet calls him the potter. Lord, you are the potter. We are the clay. And the second thing that Jonah shows us is that we need some pottery on us. In your other hand, from your pot, you might like to open your Bible, if it's not already open, to Jonah chapter 1. Verse 2 is the calling on his life. Verse 3 is what he did with it. Verse 3, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Have you ever gone to Tarshish? Have you ever gone to Tarshish? In other words, have you ever run away from the Lord? Have you ever gone in a direction which you knew deep down wasn't part of God's plan? I know I have. I know I'm like Jonah. Lots of people are. Throughout the whole of Scripture, we see people who God has anointed, but who head for Tarshish, or who at least want to. There's a man, you might have heard of him, you might have read about him and know him, called Abraham, who when God gives him the calling on his life, he thinks he's not young enough for that. There's a man called Moses, who when he hears God's calling on his life, thinks he's not eloquent enough for that. There's a man called Gideon in the Old Testament, who when he hears God's calling on his life, thinks, I'm just not courageous enough for that. And when Isaiah hears of God's calling on his life, he says, I'm just not holy enough for that. I'm a man of unclean lips. He says, the calling of God on a person's life naturally fills people with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's always bigger than our pot. Jesus knows this. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is on the eve of going to the cross. The most agonizing call of God on any man's life, the Son of God himself. And he is tempted to head for Tarshish. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But he endures the cross. He goes to the cross. He is raised from the dead. And now he who does sympathize with our weaknesses is there to strengthen and send the Holy Spirit to encourage all who God is calling to something way bigger than their pot. To take hold of this big fish that won't fit into our gifts unless God really helps us big time. The work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Holy Spirit, is to encourage us, to give us courage that I am with you in these good works God prepared in advance for you to do. But Jonah needs some persuading, and he runs in the opposite direction. Have you ever done that? We had this amazing time in France with this incredible gift. I would have thought lots of people, if I was you, I would have thought, oh, I wish I could have a job with a 3-month sabbatical. I really would. It's a fantastic gift. But in one place we were in, a few places, but one I'll tell you about, I really wanted to cut and run. Really wanted to cut and run. An amazing thing about being abroad is that you're out of your depth, even in a beautiful country like France, which is not like Nineveh. Really love the French, partly because they're our family. Great place. But one place we were in, it was on a youth camp, and I was asked to do these Bible studies, and for different reasons, which I won't bore you with, I was feeling like everything had been stripped away. Haven't quite got the same facility in French as in English. Haven't really got the same way of reading where people are at, especially on a youth camp with young people. Just felt utterly bereft, empty. Have you ever been in that place where it feels like God has stripped everything away? There are storms of life of all kinds. Maybe you're in one now. And it's not a pastoral thing to say, oh, the storms of life are just there because God's going to teach you something through them. That's not what I say to somebody in a storm of life. If they'd said that to me on a youth camp, I just would have hit them. But here's the truth for Jonah. It's the truth for me, that in the storms of life, when things are stripped away from me, and especially the thing that I find in myself that I can do things with the stuff in my own pot, my own gifts, my own skills, I learn that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And this is what Jonah learns. He heads for Tarshish in verse 4. This great wind comes up. This great wind comes up, and Jonah is shipwrecked. He's swallowed by the whale. And if you turn a page in your Bible to chapter 2, verse 7, this is the realization that Jonah comes to as God the potter fashions his truth into him. He says, as my life was ebbing away when I was shipwrecked, when I was drowning, This big fish was swallowing me, and I'm in this dark place. As my life was ebbing away, I called out to you, Lord. Do you see that? That's what the storms of life, how God can use them to, sometimes, some of us need this, stripping away stuff that is essentially self-reliance. Stripping it away to come to our understanding of a verse. It's very easy to preach on. It's very easy to quote it. Sometimes we need to actually live it, that it isn't by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Jonah needs to learn this. Because God has some transforming work in his life to do. Are you ever Jonah? If you look deep inside yourself, really deep, sometimes during the storms of life, we find stuff, if we're like Jonah, that's kind of ugly. Look inside Jonah and you see there, frankly, a whole lot of prejudices. He just hates the people of Nineveh. He's happy to stick with the people in his pot, who are the people of Israel. But when God sends him to Nineveh, which is like 300 miles to the east of where he's living, he goes to Tarshish, which is 500 miles to the west. He really doesn't like that race. Is that in any of us? Well, maybe we don't recognize it, but do you find there's certain personalities that you just really struggle with? From Adam and Eve onwards, there's something in us, the Bible calls it sin, and it's there. It was true for Jonah. It's true for me. If it's true for you, you're like Jonah as I am. But here's the final truth, the great promise. With your pot, would you like to just, unless you're really attached to it, if you're really attached to it, you can keep it. But if you're not yet, would you just like to flatten it out? Just flatten out your pot. You see, when you look at what God does with Jonah, it can feel and sound kind of cruel, kind of brutal. God, I really don't want you to swallow me up with a big fish. As somebody who's pretty iffy about sea and claustrophobic, this is hell for me. But you see, God is doing this to Jonah because he loves him. He loves this big bruiser of an 8th century confrontational prophet. This is the hand of God on him. And if you're a parent or a godparent or a grandparent or any kind of parent, you'll know that every child needs a different hand on them. And God's hand is on you, not to flatten you, but to gently soften you and me. God is trying to soften Jonah. Just to soften him. And with your softened clay, can you make it into a kind of a saucer? No, I can't. But if you make it into a kind of a saucer, this represents who God wants Jonah to become. He wants you to become, wants me to become. In other words, people who come to God with our gifts and all he's made us and all we're good at, but to say, Lord, here I am. Your calling is way bigger than I can handle, but would you take me and use me in the good works you prepared in advance for me to do? Would you just give me signs of your hand upon me, that I might actually have your fingerprints on my life? You see, there are experiences in life that are like a potter reshaping their pot. And this is what God is trying to do with Jonah. Not to punish him, but to prosper him. To save him from himself. To save him from himself. Does that make sense? God's got high stakes here. He's talking about the saving of a whole city in Nineveh. He's talking about fulfilling his good purposes for Jonah. God goes to great lengths to bring Jonah back from the lengths he's gone against his will. He goes to great lengths for you. He goes to the length of sending his son far out of his pot, out of what was comfortable, to the very cross, to bring you back like a good father, like an unfailing God who cherishes you as he cherishes this Jonah, who's like a sulky child, frankly, very gifted child. The worst experience of the last 3 months, which I think you will have heard about in France, happened on July the 14th as a lorry in Nice plowed into celebrating crowds. And we weren't there, but we had been a few weeks before. And in the aftermath of this atrocity, this very poignant and beautiful slogan, it was spoken by many French people, and it was this, Je suis Nice. You know that? Je suis Nice. It's a way of saying, we're with you. We identify with you. And this morning, if you like, you could go away, as I'm going to do with this slogan, Je suis Jonah. Je suis Jonah. Because I'm like him. You're like him. You are God's workmanship, as he was. Very different gifts from Jonah. Very different calling. But the same God calling you. Je suis Jonah, because like him, I need quite a lot of transforming. There are people and places that I don't see as God sees them. Je suis Jonah, because I quite like the message that God's amazing grace is so incredible that he loves me, that he sends his son to die for me. But I struggle with the fact that that's true for other people as well. Even Ninevites. Who's your Ninevite? Because Jesus died for him as well. And je suis Jonah, because here's the truth. God has not given up on me. It's true for Jonah. It's true for you. It's true for me. With all my sort of misshapenness deep down inside, and with all of yours, from Adam and Eve onwards, we come to God as misshapen and yet beautifully cherished. God's workmanship. The word in Ephesians literally means work of art. Your saucer might not be perfect. Is your work of art. You are God's work of art. And he's simply inviting us to identify with Jonah, with every single person in Scripture who God calls, who God transforms, who he forgives, and who he calls again into his mission, into his mission. Not my mission, way outside our pot. I finish with this, that God's calling on All Saints Church, I've been very mindful of it the last 3 months, is to do something way bigger than our pot. Perhaps this is said every week, but I haven't heard it for 3 months, so I'm going to repeat it, that if we didn't do anything to our sites here and to this building would fall down. It's slowly crumbling. It's God's way of saying, you've got to do something. And if you're new here, you might not know that it's longer than 2 years now, the PCC, Parochial Church Council, others, we've been praying and talking and thinking about the site redevelopment. What is God's workmanship, the good works? He wants this place to look like, and he uses his people to do it. We've got to do something. But it's way bigger than our pot. And if you're like Jonah and like me, you're tempted to cut and run. But Jesus, who went to the cross, is there like cheering us on as he was cheering Jonah on, to give his spirit, his encouragement, his very presence for all God intends to do in you and through you and me. As the band come forward now, I'm just going to invite you to hold out your saucer or whatever you've got in your hand, representing who you are. And if you too can say, "Je suis Jonah," I am Jonah. I identify with him. I identify with the fact he was called, the fact that he was needing to be transformed, the promise on his life that God didn't give up on him. He doesn't give up on you. This prayer is for you. Lord Jesus, every single one of us, an amazing creation and work of art. And equally, with our own failings and sin that causes us, like Jonah, to run away from you, the very least to be tempted to do so with all that's not comfortable. Lord Jesus, we offer you our lives, all we are, like this little saucer. I pray you would fill all of us who are Jonah. I pray you would call us back to you. I pray you'd call us back to you again and again. I thank you for your promise of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for when we run away. As you brought Jonah back, bring us back. Give us your courage. From the encourager, the Holy Spirit, to be fashioned into the person you're calling us to be. To do the good works, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit.